Rebirth is renewal. Titus 3. Spiritual rebirth by faith and daily living by the grace of Christ result in the ability to follow the inspired counsel of Scripture. In this epistle, Paul stresses the need for all classes, old and young, male and female, master and servant, to live exemplary lives. In his concluding chapter, the apostle emphasizes that salvation by grace through faith results in good works. Part number 1. The Christian Citizen, Titus 3, 1-3. Paul continued his recommendations to Pastor Titus with the words, "Constantly remind the people to respect and obey the magistrates, other government authorities, and always prepare for any good enterprise. Never speak evil or abuse anyone. Carefully avoid quarrels and violent arguments." This advice would be particularly important to Titus because the Cretan populace had a reputation for engaging in constant insurrections, murders, internecine wars, quoted by Barclay in letters to Timothy, Titus, and Philemon, page 258. The church members should, instead of living like their neighbors, cultivate fair-mindedness and show meekness to all. Meekness is the fruit of the Spirit so clearly displayed by Jesus. Meekness never justifies its actions. Meekness never stands up for its rights. Do you think this is impossible? The meek shall inherit the earth. The apostle reminded Titus that there was a time when the Christians themselves, ourselves, were foolish, senseless, irresponsible, disobedient, rebellious, obstinate, misled by others, duped, habitual slaves of various cravings or vices, spending lives in malice, meanness, resentment, envy. What a terrible picture. But Christ did not leave mankind in this horrible condition. Christ came to live with mankind, to set them an example, to put into the life stream of humanity the power of transforming grace. He then entrusted his servants with the message of salvation, the gospel which is the power of God verbally, to bring about changes in human life that will result in eternal life. The Cretan believers showed that God can do for habitual sinners what he promised. It is at this level that the plan of salvation begins to operate. When a convicted murderer is in prison for life, no amount of good behavior will nullify his guilt. He's murdered. Nothing a sinner can do can ever reduce his guilt, for the sins of the past are there. They're past. They are out of his reach. The debtor in prison for 10,000 talents will never pay his debt. But Jesus takes care of all these problems through his death on the cross. He wipes out the past. But he does require our acceptance of his provision through our patience, confession, new birth, and surrender to the control of the Spirit. Part number 2. Saved by the new birth. Titus 3:4-6. This total change, this beginning again, is possible because God our Savior graciously and lovingly has been made known to us. These saving and transforming results in the sinner's life are produced not by works of righteousness which he performs in his own strength, but in accordance with Christ's saving mercy which functions in the sinner by the laver washing away of sins, which produce the new birth, which is seen in the regenerated life. The Holy Spirit is the agent who brings about this molding of the life through His own power. This gracious energy is poured out abundantly, limitlessly, through the request of Christ our Savior, but must be accepted as the dynamic of the life by each Christian. In the new birth, Ellen White noted, the heart is brought into harmony with God. As it is brought into accord with His law, when this mighty change has taken place in the sinner, he has passed from death unto life, from sin unto holiness, from transgression and rebellion to obedience and loyalty. The old life of alienation from God has ended. The new life of reconciliation of faith and love has begun. This is justification. Then, Ellen White continues, the righteousness of the law will be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. This is sanctification. Part number 3. We are saved by justification, 3:7, Titus. First goal of the Spirit is to bring the penitent into justification through the new birth. The justified Christian has acknowledged his sinfulness. He has seen how thoroughly evil he was through the light of the law. He agrees that as a sinner he should die. He accepts that Jesus died for him. He acknowledges his personal sinfulness, allows the old man, his previous lifestyle, to die, and accepts Jesus as his personal Savior, and is converted. At conversion, he stands before God as though he had never sinned. This is the work of a moment. Following this, he's got to live. As newborn babes, he's got to desire the sincere milk of the Word, that he might grow thereby. This next stage is sanctification. Day by day, the Holy Spirit reveals to him areas where he needs to gain the victory. Day by day, he prays, Lord, search me and try me and show me if there be any wicked way in me. Day by day, the grace of Christ works in his life and he overcomes the evil. This is the process of sanctification. This takes an entire lifetime to fulfill. There are some folk who think that justification does everything. They need to think further. They need to pray more earnestly. They need to study more deeply. Justification is a work of a moment. It's our title to heaven. Sanctification is the work of our lifetime. It is our fitness for heaven. Part number 5, Final Counsels. Paul urged Titus strenuously to insist that those who started believing in God, justification, should be careful to maintain good works, sanctification, right to the end. Such counsels are excellent and profitable today. Paul is clear as to how a persistent heretic who causes divisions is to be treated. Christ is equally clear how the pastor should comport himself. He is equally clear how a justified soul should grow sanctified. And so he appeals to his son in the faith, his pastor, his disciple, first to live, then to proclaim, all the time ensuring that the grace of God is working in his heart, driving toward the blessed hope, and bringing the members of his church with him. And with that idea, He sends His greetings to all. Friends in the faith, may grace be with you. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.